The first translations of Chekhov in English started appearing in the early years of the 20th century. English readers, just like Russian readers actually, were slightly confounded by his stories to begin with. They really didn't know what to make of them. For readers of conventional short stories, they are a little bit disconcerting because Chekhov basically dismantled the whole idea of the short story. He removed the conventional beginning, he removed the conventional end. He really challenged the very idea of what a short story should be about and decided that really it could be about anything, even a tiny detail. And so as a consequence, his heroes are not conventional heroes either. They're all kinds of people, from peasants to village school teachers to students, and they really contain a vast range of characters, but none of them are people who really perform any sort of heroic deeds, and often the stories aren't really about anything in particular, but of course an awful lot goes on in them. It was really modernist writers like Virginia Woolf who were able to perceive that what Chekhov was doing in literature was something very exciting, and of course they recognised something familiar there because they were also pushing the boundaries of literary form. Particularly Virginia Woolf, I think, had a lot of very interesting things to say. Around about 1918, 1919, she published some reviews in the Times Literary Supplement. She was very excited by the fact that Chekhov was quite a sort of quirky writer, that he presented life in all its discomfort, and of course the sort of sense of alienation which we find a lot in Chekhov's writing is something that we associate with the modern condition. And really Chekhov in many ways was a kind of existentialist before existentialism came to be known. At the same time, of course, a lot of English readers were slightly put off by the fact that Chekhov's characters were all rather miserable and led rather unfulfilled lives. And it's taken a long time, really, for readers to appreciate that just because Chekhov was writing in a slightly minor key didn't necessarily mean that he was a gloomy writer. And this has been a persistent cliche, I think, about Chekhov, that people have associated the characters with the author. Certainly, there's something very sort of gentle and elegiac in his writing, which we might associate with the music of Tchaikovsky, who was Chekhov's great contemporary and someone who greatly revered Chekhov. And we also might associate this sort of note of elegy with the painting of Levitan, who was another contemporary and one of Chekhov's best friends. And indeed, these three figures are all very representative of the culture of Alexander III, a time when Imperial Russia was really grinding to a halt. If we think of the atmosphere of a play like The Cherry Orchard, which is looking back to a sort of golden age, this is very much the atmosphere that we find often in his stories. But it's been interesting also to notice that a futurist writer, very uncompromising futurist, someone like Vladimir Mayakovsky, was incredibly enthusiastic about Chekhov being a craftsman and about being an artist, not about being a realist who wrote about sad people. I think there is this sort of strange paradox about Chekhov that on the one hand he's an impressionist, he is very fond of inserting at the ends of his sentences and at the end of his paragraphs the three dots, which in English we know of as the ellipsis, but it's not really performing the function of the conventional ellipsis. It's a kind of impressionistic device that gives a kind of pause in his writing, like we have in the plays. And at the same time, Chekhov is a writer who is incredibly precise, and this comes from his medical training. And later on in his life, he would articulate again, with typical precision, that, you know, this training gave him an extraordinary capacity to be objective. And so these things coexist, this sort of dreaminess and this note of elegy alongside this very, very careful choice of words.